Do you know why the caged bird sings? Welcome back to the Learn English podcast, the podcast teaching English in context so you can learn naturally. It is banned book week here in the United States. That is the week that libraries and people across the country celebrate reading banned books. A banned book is a book that previously was not able to be read. It usually gets removed from libraries and from schools for some reason. Maybe a political reason, maybe a religious reason, but something about the book makes people in power not want other people to read it. And in celebration of Banned Book Week, I want to talk about an author who has recently become a banned author, and that is Maya Angelou. You might not have heard of Maya Angelou, but she is one of the most well-known poets here in the United States. Besides being a poet, she was also an actress, a dancer, and a civil rights activist. She used her personal struggles as inspiration in her writing, and her writing has gone on to inspire millions. She is known as being one of the most powerful authors, having one of the most powerful voices in American history. So, on today's episode, I want to talk about who she was, her biography, and also tell you about one of her most famous poems. So, if you want to know more about this American icon, well, of course, practicing your listening comprehension and building your English vocabulary, then follow along because we're about to begin. Before we get started, I want to remind you to look at the description of this podcast episode. There you will find the vocabulary list, which is the list of words and phrases that I used in the episode. That way, you can study them and build your English vocabulary. Last year, I also did an episode about the banned books that you can read to increase your English fluency. I will leave that in the description as well. Now let's talk about Maya Angelou. Maya Angelou was born in April of 1928 in St. Louis, Missouri, and her name actually wasn't Maya. Her name was Marguerite Ann Johnson, but one of her siblings gave her the name Maya for short. Her childhood was very difficult. Her parents divorced when she was young, and she was sent to live with her grandparents. Now, Maya Angelou, if you're not watching on YouTube, you might not know what she looks like. She was an African American woman, and like I said, she was born in 1928. At that time, the United States was not a very friendly place for people who were Black. And she lived in the South, in a segregated town in the South. I've talked about segregation before when I've done my episodes on Martin Luther King. Segregation meant separation, where you separated people based on race. The town that she went to go live with her grandparents in was called Stamps, Arkansas, and it was a segregated town. Besides living in segregation and dealing with poverty, there also was something very traumatic and very tragic that happened to Maya. I can't really go into the details because YouTube does not like these words being said, but I will just say that she was an 8-year-old girl and one of her mother's boyfriends hurt her in a very particular way. And this was a very traumatic thing that happened to her. Of course, the event itself was horrible, but what happened afterwards further traumatized her. She told people what this man had done to her, and a few days later, the man was killed. Maya blamed herself for this man's death, and she actually stopped speaking for 5 years. She blamed herself for this man's death, and because he died after she spoke out, which means after she told someone what happened, she equated her speaking with the blame about what happened. Maya Angelou gave an interview to Oprah Winfrey in 1993. I'm going to play a clip of that here so you can hear what she sounded like and also hear her talk about this time period of her life when she stopped speaking. I'm also going to play a few more clips from this interview later on in the episode so you can hear from Maya directly.
I thought my voice had killed him, so I thought it would be wise for me not to speak. That was my 7.5-year-old logic. If I spoke, people might die, just randomly.
Even though she was not speaking, her mind was still very active. And during this time, she realized how much she liked reading. She became very fond of reading literature, of reading poems, and of memorizing things. So even though she wouldn't say them out loud, she would memorize passages of what she read and would tell them to herself in her head. When she became a teenager, she did start to regain her voice and she started speaking again. Now, partly due to what had happened to her and because of the circumstances of her upbringing, she ended up becoming pregnant at just 16 years old, and she gave birth to her son, Guy Johnson. Because she now had to provide for a son at just 16 years old, she started taking on jobs so she could take care of her child. She became a waitress and a cook, and she started moving around. She moved between St. Louis and Arkansas, which is where her parents and her grandparents lived, but then she also even made it all the way to California and San Francisco. Her mother moved to Oakland, which is in the San Francisco Bay Area, and she came to join her. San Francisco is known for having their streetcars. You probably have seen these trolleys in videos and in pictures of San Francisco. And Maya saw these streetcars and she wanted to become a conductor. At the time, conductors were almost exclusively white and male. Maya was an African-American woman, so when she applied, she was actually rejected. But one thing about Maya Angelou is that she was not easily discouraged. She kept fighting for whatever it was that she wanted, and she really wanted to become a streetcar conductor. She kept returning and applying. She would dress professionally. She would show people how much she was interested in the position, and she eventually became San Francisco's first African-American female streetcar conductor. Throughout the 1950s and the 1960s, Maya Angelou continued to want to express herself and show off her creativity. She decided to start a career as a singer, dancer, and actress. She began performing under the name Maya Angelou, which of course was her nickname, and Angelou was the last name of her then husband. She started performing in nightclubs and actually joined Porgy and Bess. They went on to tour internationally. She actually toured in Europe and in Africa. Maya Angelou was very intelligent. And during this time when she was touring in Europe and Africa, she started to learn multiple languages. She became fluent or conversational in multiple different languages, such as French, Italian, Spanish, and Arabic. She also started learning Fanti, which is a language in Ghana. In the early 1960s, Maya Angelou moved to Ghana, where she worked as an educator and as a journalist. It was there that she met Black intellectuals from around the world, and she started getting involved in the civil rights movement. I've talked about the civil rights movement. I've done multiple episodes on Dr. Martin Luther King. I will leave links for those so you can get an idea of what this was. It is one of the most important movements in American history. It was a time period where African Americans really started to demand to have equal rights and equal place in American society when in the past they had not been treated in a fair and equal manner. Maya Angelou actually became very close with Dr. Martin Luther King during this time and also with Malcolm X. We haven't talked about Malcolm X, but he was another civil rights activist, an important person in this movement. In 1969, Maya Angelou published her memoir, which was titled, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. It talks about her traumatic childhood, the racism she faced, and her struggle to really figure out who she was, to find her voice, metaphorically, but also literally, after she stopped speaking at the age of 8. The book was a hit. It became an international bestseller, and it was the first nonfiction bestseller by a Black woman. Maya Angelou continued her writing career. She went on to publish over 30 more works of poems, memoirs, and essays. Some of her most famous works are I Still Rise, which is a poem about overcoming oppression, Phenomenal Woman, which is a poem about being a woman and having self-confidence, and On the Pulse of the Morning, which is a poem that she performed at the inauguration of President Bill Clinton in 1993. She was only the second poet in American history to perform at a presidential inauguration. I will say that as a young child, I actually saw her on Sesame Street. I used to watch Sesame Street when I was a kid, when I was a young child, and she used to be on Sesame Street. I remember her doing poetry with Elmo and the characters on Sesame Street, and that was the first time I was ever exposed to her.
Elmo, you have a very nice name. Did you know that?
Yeah. Elmo likes Elmo's name. Thank you, Maya.
Carlo, you and Lexine have beautiful names, too.
Yeah. Thank
you. Yes.
But she continued to write, she continued to perform and do public speaking, and she really inspired people with her words. During her later years, she was given over 50 honorary doctoral degrees. An honorary doctorate is a degree that a university can give to someone. You don't actually go to the university and earn this degree. The university gives it to you as a way of honoring you, of saying that you are an important part of culture, that you are an important member of a particular field. Because of Maya Angelou's work in the literary scene, she was given these doctoral degrees. In 2011, Barack Obama gave her the Presidential Medal of Freedom. This medal is the highest civilian honor in the United States, and it was because of her impact in the literary scene and in the arts.
But as a performer and ultimately a writer, a poet, Maya Angelou found her voice. It's a voice that's spoken to millions, including my mother, which is why my sister is named Maya.
She continued to write, speak, and mentor others up until May of 2014, when she passed away at the age of 86. I said that this episode was in celebration of Banned Book Week, and you might be wondering how this ties in with Maya Angelou's story. At military bases and naval academies across the United States, there are libraries, and there are books there that soldiers can read if they want to. They're optional. These are not books that are mandatory for anyone to read, but they're available in the library for someone to check out and read if they're interested in it. Recently, there was a list of books that came out that were banned at a U.S. Naval Academy. There were over 300 books on this list, and almost all of them had to do with talking about minorities, especially African Americans, and their struggle and their history here in the United States. One of the books on that list that was banned and removed from the library was I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, Maya Angelou's most famous work. This made a lot of headlines because, like I said, this was a best-selling book. It's a very well-known book here in the United States. And it also made news for another reason. That was because some books were not banned and are still available in that naval library. One of the books that was not banned and that you can still check out there is Mein Kampf. That book was written by Adolf Hitler. And within the past month, Alberta, Canada did a book ban in their school libraries, which also removed I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. Therefore, to help celebrate Banned Book Week, I wanted to end this episode by reading the poem Caged Bird. This is one of the poems that Maya uses in her book, and it's an analogy for herself. A caged bird is a bird that is a pet, a bird that is in some type of cage so it cannot fly freely about. And this is how she viewed herself when she was younger, when she was growing up in the environment she was in. And you'll hear that throughout the poem, how this is an analogy for her own circumstances and what she was dealing with. If you're watching on YouTube, I'm going to put the text up on the screen. If you're listening to the podcast, I will leave a link so you can find this text and you can read along. I'm going to read the paragraphs, and I'm also going to mention some of the vocabulary in it so you can better understand the poem. I also want to say that this is going to be at a very high level of English. This is a poem that was written by a native English speaker for other English speakers. It talks in a very metaphorical way. Just know that I am going to explain the vocabulary, but it is going to be a little bit advanced. However, that also means that it is a great way to increase your vocabulary and understand difficult English content. The poem starts, "A free bird leaps on the back of the wind and floats downstream till the current ends, and dips his wings in the orange sun rays and dares to claim the sky." So in that first paragraph, in the first line where it says a free bird leaps, you might not know the word leaps. That is another word for jumps. And it usually is a little bit happier. Usually when you use leap, when something is leaping, it's in a joyful way. So her analogy here, she's talking about a free bird, a bird that is not in a cage, and how it has this joy, how it's able to leap metaphorically in the sky. It's also able to claim the sky as its own because it's its territory. It's able to go freely throughout the sky wherever it wants. The second paragraph is, but a bird that stalks down his narrow cage can seldom see through his bars of rage. His wings are clipped and his feet are tied, so he opens his throat to sing. A word that I want to point out in this paragraph is the word stalks. Stalks can mean that someone is walking back and forth, usually because they're angry or frustrated. It's also something that animals do when they are going after their prey. We say that they stalk their prey. It's not usually a positive thing when you hear the word stalk. And that's related to this term narrow cage. Narrow cage means that this caged bird is in a very small cage, so they don't have a lot of free space. And then there's seldom. Seldom means almost never, hardly ever occurs. It's a fancier way of saying that. So if you hear someone say that something seldom happens, it means it almost never happens. Therefore, seldom see through means that the bird can hardly ever see the outside of its cage. And then there's bars of rage. Rage is more than just being mad. It is to be extremely angry, usually dangerously angry. The cage is representing the extreme anger that Maya felt, especially early on in her life. Also, the word clipped. Wings are clipped. This happens a lot when people have birds. I know that one of my neighbors has chickens and they clip the chicken's wings so the chickens can't fly over the fence. So when a wing of a bird is clipped, they're not able to fly like they normally would. So if the bird has wings that are clipped and feet that are tied, it's not able to move. But the last line of the paragraph says that the bird opens his throat to sing. That means it has no other thing to do. It can't fly, it can't walk. So the only thing left that it has that's an option for it is to sing. And here is Maya herself talking about the caged bird and why it has to sing.
The caged bird sings because it must. It must or die. Maybe it must and die. I don't know, but it must sing.
The third paragraph of the poem says, the caged bird sings with a fearful trill of things unknown but longed for still. And his tune is heard on the distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom. A word that you might not know here is trill. Trill is a musical term. It is when you go rapidly in between two notes that are right next to each other on the musical scale. So this is a way of saying that the bird is singing. Also, this phrase longed for is another way of saying yearning or that you're desiring something or wanting something. Usually when we say something is longed for, it's something that you can't obtain, something that you don't get. So if you're longing for something, usually it has this connotation that you're not going to get it. And in this case, when she's talking about the caged bird, she's saying that the caged bird longs for freedom. The caged bird wants to be free. It wants to go around in the sky, but it's not able to do that. And you can see how that's a metaphor for herself because she wanted to be free. She wanted to be out of her circumstances and felt like she couldn't. The next paragraph says, the free bird thinks of another breeze and the trade winds soft through the sighing trees and the fat worms waiting on a dawn bright lawn, and he names the sky his own. The word here I want to point out is sighing. Sighing is when you exhale air and you make a sound. For example, that's a sigh, when you breathe out heavily with a sound to it. So the sighing trees kind of gives you this image that the sound is coming from the trees, probably from the wind that's going through the trees. This paragraph is saying that a free bird really only has good things to think about. The breeze, which is a nice way of saying a very light wind. The sighing trees, a worm to eat, having the entire sky to fly in. It's living a happier life because it is a free bird. And the poem ends, but a caged bird stands on the grave of dreams. His shadow shouts on a nightmare scream. His wings are clipped and his feet are tied, so he opens his throat to sing. The caged bird sings with a fearful trill of things unknown but longed for still, and his tune is heard on the distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom.
The caged bird sings with a fearful trill. Its song is heard on the distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom. Mm-hmm. Freedom. Freedom, let me out of here. Mm-hmm. Let me out of here. Mm-hmm. And so there's something universal about that song, since all of us are caged in some way or another. And so people can hear it and say, oh, yes, oh, Lord, let that bird out. Mm-hmm. You know, at least I feel for the bird.
I love that poem. It is so beautiful, and it is so powerful when you know the history of the author who wrote it. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you learned a little bit about Maya Angelou and why she is a famous poet and literary author here in the United States. If you enjoyed that poem, if you liked learning about her, I would recommend checking out her other famous poems because they are all very, very good. If you want more episodes like this in the future, please leave a comment and let me know. There's a lot of authors. There's a lot of poets. We can do more episodes where I read a poem and talk about some of the vocabulary in it. So if you enjoyed this, please leave a comment and tell me about it. If the podcast is helping you learn English, if you're enjoying it, please consider leaving us a rating on whatever app you use to listen to this podcast on. You can also tell a friend, tell a family member, tell someone who is learning English so we can continue to grow our audience. You can find us on social media at Learn English Pod. The website is learnenglishpod.com. And remember to like and subscribe so you don't miss our next episode when it comes out next week. Until then, keep learning English.